Today is a special Monday edition of the show. My guest is Katrina Parker, and this is a track from CD that she brought in. We're going to listen to that, and then we're going to talk a bit, do some live stuff. It's going to be good times. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org. End of that song was kind of scary, actually. Kind of went down a little bit there. Sounded like something out of Hellraiser or something.
Yeah,
with the toy
box.
So you're listening to a special edition of Is Good on killradio.org. Today is Monday, October 16th, and my guest is Katrina Parker. Katrina, hello.
Hi. I'm happy to be here.
Who are you joined with today?
I have Sean Peterson playing djembe with me. He's also one of the co-producers on my next album. Hi,
hola.
Sean. We also have Amy Lockmiller, who's my business partner, does some managerial duties as well. She pretty much does everything, tour manager, everything. So.
Wow, that's great. Well, otherwise you'd be doing all the work yourself, huh?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, that's the nature of these
things. I don't
think
it would happen if I was doing it all myself.
So. How did you end up working with Sean on projects?
Sean is someone I went to school with in Nashville. We're all from Nashville originally, actually. Well, some of us from California originally, some from North Carolina, but we all ended up in Nashville for college. And we all met there, and Sean moved out here years later, and I happened to be living out here. And we decided to do some programming for my live shows, just to add a live element to it and have, I don't know, I love playing acoustic, I love the intimacy of it, but I needed something more in order to continue keeping people's interest and keep people coming to the live show. So we worked on a couple tracks programming, and we ended up loving the end product, and we got along really well, and we had a lot of fun, so I decided to use them for the next album, and they decided to have me on as a client, so.
Is she telling the truth?
Yes, definitely.
Okay.
<Check's> cleared.
Well, you guys ready to dive into a live song?
Yeah, sure. I think we're going to start with a very new one, and it's called The Waiting Game.
And tell me real quick what you're playing in here.
I'm playing a Kurzweil SP-88. It's so old. My parents, this is the first keyboard my parents got for me.
It's huge.
And it's come with me from North Carolina to Nashville and up here to Los Angeles. So.
Wow. What are you going to play for us first?
I'm going to play The Waiting Game.
All right, let's do it. You're listening to Katrina Parker, who's my guest on Is Good on killradio.org.
I see it before me. The truth is fighting to be told. Your kiss is like fire. Your breath is hot, but I am cold. Don't make me despise you. I'm not about to be let go. You're restless, impatient. Your heart is like a stone. Take your chance with me. My love is sweet. This is more than fading words in misery. But don't ask me. Take your chance with me.
love is sweet. This is more than fading words in misery. But don't ask me, I mean it. I know about the waiting game. This empty desire is more than I could ever change. Don't ask me, believe me. I'm on the edge of something sane. Don't try me, I mean it. I know about the waiting game. Don't try me, believe me. I'm not about to be ashamed. Don't try me, I mean it. I know about the waiting game. Oh, 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 oh.
Wow. That was great. That was great. Thanks so much for coming in. Okay, where to start? Where to start? What instrument did you start using first in terms of expressing yourself? Was it the piano or your voice?
It was my voice.
And how did you discover your voice?
I was the 2-year-old kid singing at the top of my lungs, out of tune. No, my mom sang me to sleep. My dad sang to wake up in the morning. He sang some really cheesy songs to wake me up in the morning, but it worked nonetheless. And I mean, you know, we were really active in church at the time, and you know, music was an integral part of that. So I don't remember when I didn't sing.
So you've always been singing. When did you start writing your own music, your own words?
Oh my God, I was 19, 20. You know, I never even thought for a second I could do it, you know. And I just figured out that I was going about it in the wrong way up to that point. And once I found the subject matter that was more appropriate for me, it started coming a lot more naturally.
And what is that subject matter?
Love and relationship and not God.
So you started when in the early days you were singing just what you know, what you'd been exposed to, yeah, religious influences, but you weren't able to fully express yourself in those themes.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I grew up in the church, so I just assumed. I actually went to school in Nashville to do contemporary Christian music. That's what they call it, contemporary Christian. And I got there and I just would beat my head against a brick wall trying to write, and I just realized that it wasn't the subject matter for me. And I mean, now I realize it's also not necessarily, you know, the belief system I have, which would explain why it wasn't
so
the
didn't
right
feel
subject matter.
Didn't feel honest.
No, but
didn't.
When I started writing about relationship, hell, it just, you know, things just started flowing.
Did it take a couple of relationships to kind of come and go before you realized you could really use that in your music?
It didn't take much. I mean, I don't know. I was one of those kids that was constantly a victim. You know, those people that are, I was very sensitive, and, you know, big shock an artist being sensitive. But I mean, I grew up going through a lot of hurts in school and, you know, dealing with a lot of situations that really prepared me for that. I had a lot of pent up angst, so it was not a problem at all.
Now, there's definitely a theme that runs through your music, a heavy influence from a time long before today, from a definitely non-contemporary time. Tell me about that, your musical influences.
Well, growing up, my musical influences was obviously church music, and I mean traditional hymns. And it's embarrassing to admit, because I hate to think these are influences, but a lot of like 80s country music. And but at the time, I was really into Barbra Streisand, and I loved musicals and Broadway. And then, but I really found, you know, the thing that gave me the most inspiration just a few years ago, probably 6 or 7 years ago, when I listened to Billie Holiday for the first time. And it was like coming home. It was like, how have I gone so many years of my life without her hearing this?
So that was the sound you've been looking for inside, and you found it out there.
Yeah, and we sound completely different, but there's something, she's so honest and so raw and just so unafraid, but at the same time, she stylized and had such instinct. And, you know, I related to that completely.
We were talking a little bit before about the smoky lounge atmosphere and sort of creating that atmosphere for your audience. What do you think it is about that that appeals to you? That why do you want to create that scene?
I think because I feel like we need to kind of manifest the way I'm feeling. And I feel like a torch singer trapped in 2006. I mean, I feel like a fish out of water on so many levels because everything around me is so modern. And that's wonderful, but it's never felt like I was home in those situations, and especially musically. So, you know, I try to establish that at shows with artwork. We have a few things we do to really dress up the stage and make it look a little more like the 30s type setting. And yeah, I mean, I just want to manifest what I'm feeling. And I feel like an old torch singer who's trapped in 2006. So.
How long have you been in L.A.?
I've been in L.A. for about 6 years.
And how long have you been playing live, your scene in L.A.?
Here in L.A., I started about 6 months after I got here. And at the time, I was still trying to do pop rock and a little bit of R&B and blues. And again, the shoe didn't fit.
It just wasn't your honest inner voice coming out.
It wasn't at all. And I mean, also, I'd been playing with a band for years. And when I moved out here, I was supposed to move out with my bass player at the time. We were going to start a band. And he just disappeared and ended up going back to Nashville. So I had never been in a band where I didn't have a band leader. Or, I mean, I was so scared.
So now you're running the show.
Pretty much, yeah. And I mean, I never played acoustically. Very rarely did I play with just me and piano. And it scared me half out of my mind.
Could you describe your first experience getting up there in front of an audience with just you and your piano?
Oh, my God. The Crooked Bar. Do you remember the Crooked Bar? It was underneath what used to be the Coconut Teaser.
Okay.
And 5 people came. And that's because Amy, my business partner, brought her family. And I was a mess. And I mean, I was a mess for the next few shows because, again, I mean, it wasn't a natural thing for me. And I was trying to do the same stuff I'd been doing with a full band on piano. And it just wasn't right.
Were you really nervous, you think?
Oh, yeah. I was nervous all the time.
But do you still feel that way now that you've gotten a lot of shows under your wing?
It's getting easier, but I still get nervous and I can never explain it or predict it. It could be a show at Borders and I get nervous all of a sudden. And it's weird, but I just try to funnel that energy into the songs and it usually works out for the best.
Tell me about your audience, the way they connect to you when you're playing live. What kind of reaction do you get from your audience? And do they sit patiently and listen, or do you feel like sometimes you're trying to pull them in and keep them in? How does that work?
Well, you know, it depends on the venue, because I'm finding the venue is key. You know, if you have a sit-down type venue like Genghis Cohen, mm-hmm. it's magic. I mean, there's been shows where I just left and I just wanted to cry because I was so happy by the way it felt, because you could feel that everybody was right there with you. And then there's been shows I've done in other rooms that I will not name that were just the environment promoted talking and the environment promoted drunkenness, which is great.
Hollywood
but not
Bowl.
When I'm, yeah, you have the Hollywood Bowl. Don't I wish. I
Henry
could
Fonda
deal with
Theater?
It
yeah, I hate that place.
But yeah, the orchestra for that, because then people have to shut up. No, it's interesting because it all depends on the room. You know, I don't feel like it's as much about the audience as the room. And then also a problem is when people book my music back to back with rock, mm-hmm. or, you know, something that's just not compatible. And if there's audience spillover because it's not like a showcase type venue, we have problems. I mean, I've had people like try to get me off the stage by clapping in the middle of a song when I was doing a really slow song.
Oh, man.
And, you know, talking on their cell phone at a front table. I mean, I'm at this point, I've become immune to it. You know, it still hurts a little.
Yeah.
But you just have to act like nobody is there but you. And
I'll interject as an audience member. Katrina, she's just got one of those voices that it just no matter what the venue, you have so many people who just kind of just drop their jaw and just start listening so intently. So it's, yeah, the venue. But, I mean, with a voice like Katrina, it's just amazing, you know. So it's she really knows how to grab people as much as possible.
I know what you mean too, though, about the spillover. I've seen a lot of, especially like up and coming indie bands who are paired with like punk rockers or something, you know. And it's like, it's really hard when you're playing to someone who's not listening to get them to listen.
Yeah.
What about your vocal training? I mean, you definitely have developed a quality to your voice that's uniquely yours. Where did that come from? Just from practice, or did you have a stern coach or something like that?
You know, I mean, I went to school for music, and vocal performance was my primary thing. Actually, my degree was in vocal performance. Oh, I should get closer to the mic. Sorry. My degree was in vocal performance, so I had 2 years of classical training, which I hated, and I couldn't wait to get out of there.
Why did you hate it? Just because it was boring, or
it just because
oppressive?
I went to do commercial training because they have that as an option at the school we went to, which was Belmont University, and I was antsy. I was so impatient to get to the commercial training and sing the type of music I wanted to sing. And it was just miserable for me. Plus, I don't have a voice that is all suitable for classical music. So it was just hard to do something that I wasn't great at. And my teacher, you know, I mean, it's amazing, like, at that school, the tension between the classical department and the commercial department, you know, it's tough. So my classical teacher was not so happy with me at the time, and it wasn't a good experience. But then I had 2 years of commercial training, and I mean, that was it, pretty much it for formal training. And the rest was just listening to vocalists I love and taking away from what they do, things that I can do myself. I mean, just finding my strengths, you know. And I've learned my strength is in the quiet moments, mm-hmm. you know, in the dynamics compared to some of the louder moments. But I mean, I've learned what my strengths are, and I've learned what makes me happy.
So knowing that has probably helped you considerably in terms of the songs that you write, your original material.
Absolutely. I write for my voice. Absolutely. So, I mean, it doesn't make for the best song structure, and I couldn't necessarily hear people singing my songs, but it works for me. So.
Well, why don't we play another track from the CD that you brought in?
Okay, great.
What are we going to listen to? Do you know? Okay. What do you recommend?
Let's do a quiet ballad.
Okay. This is from Only Dreaming. Is this a CD that's available?
Yeah, actually, it's available through my website, on MySpace, at CD Baby, Amazon, pretty much anywhere.
That's MySpace/Katrina Parker?
Yes, MySpace.com/Katrina Parker. And the website's KatrinaParker.com. And
this song.
Yeah, this song's available. All these songs are available on iTunes, actually.
Which one is this?
If we could do track 6, this is All You Need.
All right, track 6 is All We Need, then. All right, and this is from your album, Only Dreaming.
Only
I guess
Dreaming.
It's a 6-track, so it's an EP, then.
Yes, I'm sorry, it's an EP.
And you can get that on CD Baby and
iTunes
and
Amazon, anywhere.
All right, this is Katrina Parker on Is Good, killradio.org. We'll be right back.
Don't hesitate.
Back with Katrina Parker on Is Good on killradio.org. Now, Katrina, when you destroyed New Orleans, what were you thinking? What were you just trying to, like, you know, ruin the competition? Or
I was just having a bad day, I gotta be honest.
Now, we were talking during the song about how that particular song we were just listening to was part of a Katrina charity project that you're involved in. Tell me about that.
It's called the Katrina CD. And,
and it's all about me.
Yeah. And actually, Sean Peterson, who's here, and Joe Hoag, my production team, had forwarded the song on to a friend of theirs. I think is he in Dallas?
He's in Houston.
I'm sorry. He's in Houston, Texas. And he asked if he could put it on the CD, and all the proceeds, I think, are going to, I know there's going to various charities associated with Hurricane Katrina, like the Red Cross, et cetera. So I was happy to put it on there. I mean, already I had guilt by association. So.
Now, are there things outside of your personal story, of your personal music, that that are important to you? Like are there political themes or ideas that you'd want to get across through your music, or things you want to make people aware of through your music, anything like that?
No, actually. I mean, I would love to be able to be more political, and I'd love to be able to talk about that, because I do have, you know, a lot of political beliefs, and, you know, I was just as disappointed as everybody else was when George Bush won the election, and, you know, I
when was that? Nobody tells me these things.
I mean, I've masked my pain, but, I mean, there's a lot of things I believe in, and I'd love to be able to incorporate that in my music, but unfortunately, it's not what I'm built for. I find that I share more about how we're all interconnected personally than, you know, politically.
So you have a more positive story to tell then, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's a negative story as well, you
True.
Know, because it relationship. I mean, I just feel like we're all interconnected, and it's all entwined in some way or another. So, you know, in sharing my story, it's affecting someone else, you know, and in sharing my story, maybe, I don't know, there's a ripple effect going on in somewhere.
Well, that's a very musical idea, that if you can express yourself musically and that affects one person, maybe it changes the way that they treat somebody else. And,
yeah.
it actually does something, instead of, people tend to think of music as being a much more self-indulgent kind of thing, you know, this is me and my art. But yeah. If you think of it more of coming out of you and spreading around, it's
so true. I mean, who wants to, I love singing in my room to my wall, but that's not why I do it. You know, I just feel an urgent need to communicate and to share and to not feel so alone and to have an experience of catharsis, you know. And I mean, I hope that the same thing comes back to me, you know, that people are hearing it and feeling that it's a cathartic experience for them also, the good and the bad and the ugly. So
are you ready to go into another live song for us?
Yeah, and Sean's going to take a break for this one. We're going to do a slower one.
Okay, my guest is Katrina Parker. You're listening to Is Good on killradio.org.
I swear you know I'm coming. Right there, you know I'm coming. If my lover's in aid, I'm there, you know I'm coming. I swear you know I'm coming. Right there, you know I'm coming. If my lover's in need, I'm there, you know I'm coming. I swear, you know I'm coming. Right there, you know I'm coming. If my lover's in need, I'm there, you know I'm coming. I swear, you know I'm coming. I'll be there, you know I'm coming.
Pretty powerful stuff.